Hello again, I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue, and this is Radio 74. The subject I'm going to broach today has to do with social media fatigue. Now, for any number one of us that, you know, have been out there, you know, daily, if you're like me, you're out there and you probably are either checking your Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And this is something I've touched on to some degree before, where you can be kind of overwhelmed by something. But I wanted to cover this kind of unique angle that happened over just the last few days. Now, one large, in fact, gigantic media event that happened this weekend was San Diego Comic-Con, or SDCC. That was a show that was founded back in March of 1970. I can't remember the initial name of the show, but so it's been on for more than 40 years. What, 48 years, something like that? So the point is that it's amazing to me that, and I didn't even realize it was happening until just today when I was kind of clicking through things. And I had this weird feeling that normally I get whenever I've done shows that I'm physically at, the kind of post-con blues. Now, a lot of vendors and artists and people that do shows, well, you'll go to these shows and you set up and you're excited. And even if it's a bad show, which, you know, it's probably exacerbated more so when it is a bad show, you leave there and you have these weird sort of feelings of withdrawal. And I think part of it is, a friend of mine really explained it this way. There's this sort of like weird magical sort of zone you exist in where you go, and the majority of people you can talk to know about the fandoms and interests and hobbies that you're into. And once you leave that, then you're kind of going back to whatever sort of humdrum life you had before. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just, you go back to work or you go back to, you know, doing whatever you do, and it's not necessarily in costume or, you know, just having a whole hell of a lot of fun or even catching up with people you don't normally see. It's going back and doing other stuff, and so therefore this whole post-con blues thing overcomes you. It certainly does for me. But this was the very first time this ever happened to me online. And the reason I'm saying that is because I had never really had any real inclination to want to go do SDCC. First of all, I live in the Midwest. I'm here in Kansas City. So, and I'm also very weird about flights. I'm shipping stuff anywhere. It's probably one of the worst limiting factors for me as far as doing shows. But it's a 23 at least hour drive out to where SDCC is held. And I'm trying to think about that. I'm like, that's what, a 1700 mile drive? Something like that? So, okay, that's a huge thing for me. But I will say that because of things like social media, you end up getting all kinds of different views of that show. Much more than I could have ever gotten going to the show. And so, you know, like on Twitter, I was getting constant updates from different people I followed on there, artists, interviewers, all these different people. Then on Instagram, I was getting, you know, different people on there that were doing live streams with, you know, just instantaneously during setup, during the show, after the show, where they ate. And you really kind of got sucked into where they were and what was going on. And then after that, there was also the programming that would come on afterward. In fact, one of the guys I follow, Pixel Dan, he does a lot of reviews of toys and stuff like that in general. And he's got a lot of really great hookups and friends that he's known over the years of having done this for like damn near 10 years on YouTube. So seeing the show from his angle is interesting as well, too, because he gets some great interviews and he gets some other stuff done that you won't necessarily see unless you follow him. So, which, by the way, if you are interested in that sort of thing, his name is Pixel Dan on YouTube and on all the rest of the social media. I highly suggest following him if you're into the whole toy and the toy industry in general. He does some great programming and some great stuff. So SDCC was this avalanche of just movies and toys and music and all this other stuff that starts coming out from there. And, you know, of course there's new art and there's other stuff that you start seeing, but the majority of it is very much a multimedia event that is structured around what a lot of the TV and entertainment media giants will put together. And that also goes for the toy companies. You have the big hitters like Mattel and Lego and all these other ones that are there. And I tend to follow a lot of independent artists. One of my favorite is this guy, Squid Kid Inc. And he does a lot of these great NES carts that are customizable and they're in limited run productions and stuff. There was a lot of other artists just like him that I followed and got a very different view of from the giant eyeball that kind of overlooks the whole show and gives you a grandeur that you can't normally get to the small, you know, much more It's a much more personal view of what it's like to be there and try and bend and try and compete and try and become, you know, noticed in an area that, because it's what 160,000 people, I think it was the last time a semi-official number was released was in 2016, 2015, something like that. They probably release it every year. Again, I don't follow that much, but this was the first time that I really felt like I had kind of gone to the show. And I tried to get other stuff, you know, done during the week, you know, during this weekend, and was, you know, had gone to work, other things like this. I don't know. It's so strange to me that this happened where I was like, today I'm actually feeling like, oh my God, why am I just tired? And it was the whole thing of social media fatigue. Now, this happens anyway. If you end up like, and this has happened to me many of times, but it will happen to you if you follow any sort of personality that is politically driven, has a lot of opinions, that sort of thing. And actually, it doesn't even have to be that. You could just say, hey, I like blue cheese on my burger, and you're bound to find somebody who's going to argue, counterpoint, or agree with you. That's just going to happen. That's what the whole basis behind the internet is anymore, is more statements and arguments or support. And in this sort of circumstance, I really liked it, you know, how it was that, you know, I was able to see all this stuff, but I didn't have to be at the show. I wasn't shoving myself through a whole bunch of, you know, people and trying to, you know, navigate crowds or, as from what I've heard, wait a long time, you know, in the line for Hall H to go see an event. None of that sort of thing. And I've actually got friends that live out in that area that they'll attend the show on the outside. They don't even go to the inside of the show. They don't pay for that. They just hang out where all the rest of the cosplayers and people are outside and kind of see other things that are going on around there. And I don't blame them. I mean, I've always heard that it's been a bit of a play of insanity to go to that sort of show. So the other thing, too, is it did make me start thinking, because this year I had pulled back, and it seems like at least for the last 2 years I've been kind of pulling back on shows I was doing. Some of it is because, at least from a financial standpoint, and I've noticed this from other people that have been doing shows and stuff, not even necessarily comic-related shows, but just in general, that it does seem like, depending on what's happening economically or politically or other things like that, you do have an upswell or a downswell in art buyers. And for the most part, now this is not totally true, because I actually kind of went through different sales to people I'd known personally, and I seem to be kind of right down the middle, like half like conservative-leaning people and half liberal-leaning people tend to buy my artwork. But I think part of that reason is because of the fact that, you know, I really try and shoot for something that isn't, that's, you know, it's typically not driven toward either side. It's just, I make science fiction art, I make fantasy art. So, and when I'm at a show, I don't necessarily draw that line in conversation. I'm open to that no matter what. It doesn't really bug me. I don't like extremes on either side. That being said, I had pulled back from doing shows, as I said. And one of the things that I noticed was that I was really remiss when I'd see other people, and this isn't SDCC, but other people doing other shows. I'm thinking to myself, you know, why didn't I get out there and do something? Why wasn't I out there? You know, even if the show was smaller or maybe just not necessarily in my normal wheelhouse, why wasn't I out there doing that sort of thing? And one of the groups that I belong to online kind of covers that. There's a lot of different artists on there that they kind of cover the whole aspect of like, should I do this show? Should I not do this show? And there was one show. Now, I don't actually know how it went down, but sometimes you get paranoid because you hear about these, you know, mega shows that, you know, you get lost in the mix there. But then there's smaller shows where things kind of go wayward and you're not really sure what the hell happened. One of them was a show, and I think it was, what, one or two weekends ago. It was called Tokyo and Tulsa. I don't believe I've done that show. In fact, I'm fairly certain I haven't. So, long story short, I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to go into any real depth with it, but I can say this much. There was a map that was released that showcased how the show was basically stretched out. I guess they had lost their position at a hotel. And so this anime convention had registration at one point on the street, but it was literally stretched out to what looked like either 4 to 6 city blocks or town blocks, whatever, but it was a long distance. I know it was over a mile, at least, that these different areas, like Artist Alley was all the way at one end, and then you had all this other stuff kind of going on in between there. And I thought to myself, like, had I signed up for that, had I jumped into that, that probably would have been one more, you know, one more notch in the belt that would have said, you know what, maybe I'm just, I need to step away a little bit further from this. And I know that that was, from what I'm understanding, it was a circumstance that was kind of out of their control. They did the best they could, allegedly. I don't know. I really don't know. But those are the sorts of things that go through my head whenever I start thinking about smaller shows. Now, I have done some extremely well-run smaller shows, but there's just as many that I've done that have not gone well. And so when I think of something like SDCC or any of the Wizard shows or something, I do think to myself, you know what, at least there's so much advertising and money and effort put behind that sort of thing that if it's bad, it's either because, you know, my stuff wasn't selling or maybe any number of other things would happen, but hopefully the show itself would hold itself together. And okay, so getting back to what I was talking about with the whole overload, it was the whole thing where, you know, there's this mix, there's this huge oversharing aspect that started happening, because then you start seeing some of the same news repeated over and over again, you know, as far as, I'm back to talking about SDCC. And so that was one of the things that started to kind of like run in tandem with my feeling of like, man, should I have done more shows? Should I have gone out there and actually tried to do other shows? Should I have gone maybe into debt a little bit to do some of these other shows? And that's the thing, is because I'd had a run of shows that weren't the most financially secure for me, I, you know, in fact, lost money on quite a few shows, you know, kind of leading up to this. And I've had, you know, some that were okay and some that weren't. The ones that don't, the money's got to come out of somewhere. And it's either got to be put back in by a day job or something else like that. But then after a while, I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just taking a break, reinventing my artwork, coming up with some new product and some new concepts and a whole nother way to kind of build my marketing and then go from there. I see something like SDCC and I begin to get anxiety. And it was really stupid because I wasn't even at the show. But because of the wonderful way that, well, and the overwhelmingly, you know, it was the overwhelming way that it was just all this information was available because I followed so many people on these different areas, it became this maelstrom where I not only had anxiety, but I started getting envy and a little bit of jealousy. And not in a bad way for them necessarily, but like the kind of jealousy where you go, man, I really should have tried this. But, you know, I think it comes about because you see these other people doing these things and you're like, you know what? I really should be doing this. Why am I not there? Why am I not getting, you know, a cut of that pie and that money and that sort of thing? But I also have to step back and go, yeah, but you may not have been necessarily ready to have been there. And so it was kind of a walk back for myself, you know, just talking to myself about that sort of thing. And I know other artists have gone through this sort of thing. So I guess I'm here to say that, like, if you had similar thoughts to that, take a moment to step back and just think about what you were going through and what was in your mindset at that point in time. Because honestly, yeah, you could go, but like, you know, I've had one or two friends that went who are very similar attitude wise and just crowd wise like I am. And it was absolutely freaking overwhelming for them. It was something where they were like, yeah, I went, but oh my God, you know, it was like seeing this mass of people and trying to get around. And you know, I guess the table spaces that they have for Artist Alley aren't real large. And even then, it's trying to get noticed and people walking by. And that's already something I deal with at smaller shows because my artwork is primarily originally, you know, original content, original character sort of stuff. So they don't really take that big of a look at my stuff unless they bought from me previously or are looking for something distinctly different from the normal Marvel DC kind of anime look. So I can say this much, though. The other reason that I probably felt like, man, I was missing out on something is because this is truly an event. I mean, even the Wizard shows anymore, there's so many of them. And just in general, that media complex has put out a lot of shows. And you can find one in St. Louis. You don't find one here in Kansas City because of the size of Planet Comic Con. But, you know, I've done Wizard shows before. And they're really good shows. They, you know, at least they were in my opinion. And they do still have sort of an event feel to them. But I do say that, like, a lot of the smaller shows I do in comparison to these large shows, that is, you know, like NakaCon and like some of the other local ones still have an event sort of feel to them. And I still leave, you know, missing the people and the moments and all this other stuff. That's really cool and really great. And I think for this one, it was like, I think what it does is, or what it did, because, you know, it is over now, but it still kind of put me in a funny place where I'm like, man, was this the year that I really should have sucked it up and either gotten a plane ticket or just, you know, taken the time off while I could have and driven out there or flown out there, probably not flown, and tried the show. And the thing is I think it's one of those things where you, when you see something and somebody and everybody else, or it seems like everybody else in some way, shape, or form that you know is involved with it, you go, man, I can't believe I missed out on this. But just because one or two artists I know had a great show does not necessarily translate into me having had a good show if I had done that show. And that's something that as I've gotten older, I've becoming not only more wary of, but just in general, more aware of. Because, you know, on one side, you're like, yeah, it could have gone well, but it also could have completely crashed. And at least I'm having the mental capacity to be able to look at it and go, you know, when I was younger, I would have been like, dude, I totally could have done that show and I would have totally killed it. And I know for a fact that 10 years ago, I was not ready to do a show like that. I'm still not really ready to do a show like that. And I think there's a modicum of understanding in the fact that even, you know, juried shows like C2E2 that I've tried applying for, I've resoundedly been, you know, relegated to like, no, not this year, man. You're not getting in for whatever reason that might be. Something else I wonder to kind of close this out is we are living right now in a moment where, and I see this because, I mean, I work at Hallmark part-time. I've brought this up before. And so I get to see some of the licensed stuff and things like that. And the crazy part for me is this. A few years ago, probably more than a few years ago, a couple decades ago, the whole geek nerd sort of thing was not hot. It was just not something that really took off as much as it has today. Now you have Disney, Warner Brothers, and a few others that are really pushing this forward. And we live in a time where you can have any sort of fandom, any sort of thing out there and push this sort of thing. And at the back of my head, I look at something like this and I'm like, you know, this is really cool, but an event like SDCC probably would not happen to the level that it does without these massive giant media companies behind it. And I do wonder, well, how long is this going to last? And there's a part of me, and this isn't me being a naysayer. This isn't anything like that. This is simply an observation that came about while I was thinking, like, well, why am I not doing these shows? There was another part of me that said, you know, you could start doing these shows, but at some point in time, the bubble may burst on this. I mean, I think that right now, not only nostalgia in the form of things like Stranger Things and other stuff like that is really strong with the whole 80s crew, you know, that whole fandom is really big right now. And that callback stuff is fantastic. It reminds me a lot. I used to be a huge and a weird fan about this, but I used to love staying up late at night, especially whenever my family didn't have cable television when I was younger, and I would watch those paid infomercials, and that just led to a whole other thing. But in watching those, you know, I would see all these things like, you know, do you remember the 1950s and the music from that time? How good it was back then. You'd see stuff like that on television, or you'd see, like, and I remember when it started creeping over into, you know, these CD and record compilations. Yes, record compilations that, you know, also covered, you know, the 1960s, the 1970s and all these other sort of things. And I remember there was this one dude. I know I've talked about him before. His name was Wolfman Jack, and he was a famous DJ that I think he was based out of Los Angeles. Yeah, it was Los Angeles. I don't think it was New York. I could be wrong on that. It's been some years since I'd looked him up. But I remember like getting excited about that because it seemed like it was marketed fantastic. This event, this sort of feel that you had, and it fired up the fandom, you know, behind that music, behind that whole era. So now we're seeing this massive existence happening for people that were born in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now is our time where the media companies are definitely coming after us. And I know that there's a breaking point where this is going to falter, and it will probably fall by the wayside, and we will still have people that are interested in it. I mean, just because that whole thing goes away doesn't mean I'm not going to be interested in it. I was interested in it for a long time. Doesn't mean a whole bunch of people I know aren't going to be interested in it. But in the general public, probably won't. You'll see fashion and other things start to move back into something else. Now, the reason I'm bringing all that up is that I do wonder sometimes when I do these shows, like, it makes me also go into the whole concept of like, okay, am I feeling post-con blues or am I feeling a little bit of anxiety? And yes, I am, but not for the aforementioned reason. the anxiety starts to come from, so how long does this last? Is what my decision to have been an artist that goes after this sort of thing a smart thing or not? And then it ends up throwing me into this whole maelstrom tailspin of like, you know, like, oh my God, did I wait too long to really push myself or pursue things? And that's a whole nother thing I'm not even going to get into. But I am going to say that because of shows like this, you know, it was really strange. And I thought to myself, what is this going to be like in even 5 or 10 years? And if I hadn't spoken about this before, I had done another show. And this is something really new to me. When I did NakaCon, I was expecting, like, I will normally post to Twitter or occasionally Facebook and go, hey, you know, just got set up. Here's my booth set up. Here's what's going on. Here's this nice setup. Oh, here's somebody. Here's this person. Check out this cosplay, right? And then I follow up every show with a blog overview, you know, just a review. And it's also like an opportunity for me to, you know, if I get a chance to take photos of the patrons of mine that picked up art and did stuff like that, I feature them on there. It's my way of saying thank you, but also showing a little bit of the show on there. I've never really tackled the video aspect. I did it one time, but I wasn't really finessed enough to go full bore with it. And then I was completely blown away by the fact that there were people there, which I was like, the first question, classic old timer thought, is like, what data plan do you have and how much signal do you have that you are streaming to Twitch? And it was mind blowing that was happening. And I thought to myself, in a few years, and this sounds crazy, but it could be really true. Could you not imagine the kind of post-con blues somebody would have if they could attend a show truly virtually? And I sincerely mean that. I really do believe that in a few years, we're going to be seeing some sort of concerted effort where people will be able to pay for, you know, if this is done right, companies will probably find some way to allow people to virtually attend a show from their home, to be able to go in person. There may even be, and I know this sounds nuts, but like, you know, the futurist in me kind of looks at this sort of thing and looks at it and goes, you know, there's a completely brand new open side for this. Imagine if there was, and tell me that, you know, this can't happen when the right company gets behind something. If Disney really wanted to push a virtual reality concept of their events, of their shows, primarily, and a general overview of SDCC, but, you know, blaringly leave out other, you know, opponents like, you know, Warner Brothers and other stuff like that, that doesn't necessarily concern them, they could totally curate an experience based around that. You would have other third-party companies that could come forward and give that sort of, you know, innovative approach to this sort of thing. And I'm not totally convinced that this, you know, this could happen in the next few years. And it just seems like that might be where we're moving more toward. I mean, especially considering the cost and travel and all these other things. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with going somewhere and doing something for real. In fact, at a completely different show the other weekend, I finally managed to do, and this is a small little triumph, yay for me, I managed to actually climb a lighthouse. I had never done that. And this was off of one of the lakes in Michigan. And there's a long walkway that went all the way out, you know, to where the lighthouse was. And there's water on either side. And I was like, oh, my God. And for those of you that don't know, I cannot swim. I figure if I get thrown into the water, I'm probably okay so long as I don't panic. But I am not, by any kind of inclination, a good swimmer. Now, the other thing I am is, and this is a very odd thing, I am scared of heights halfway. And here's what I mean by that. I actually, when I was in Scouts, and a little bit after that, I used to love rappelling, going back down off the back of a cliff. There is something actually fairly invigorating about doing that. What I do not like is climbing up ladders. I cannot explain it. It is absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand the mental block there. I have been trying to, you know, make peace with that in my life. But so this lighthouse, just, you know, you go inside, and it was very much a utilitarian lighthouse. It wasn't like any of the ones you see in the movies where they're huge and romantic and a sofa and a couch and a sleeper. No, none of that. You go in, it's all iron and steel and like little tiny spiral staircases going up and things. And I got up there, and I finally managed to get out there, and I got this crazy little sticker that says, yeah, you made it to the top, man. Fantastic. And it was awesome. And I can't believe I went off on this entire tangent. I actually do not remember what the point of that story was. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. So there are those sort of, you know, challenges that come up that are interesting and that are fantastic to do. But with something like these shows, I do think to myself, like, you know, that's something that would be handled virtually. And I think that a lot of the reason behind that would be people would love to be around that. They would love to see maybe, you know, something in video 360. But then there's moments where you can go and witness things in person. And I think that's something that social media absolutely takes away from in that respect to a degree. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is wonderful to think I just witnessed an interview done by somebody with a toy developer or an artist or something right then and there. I was in that moment, and only social media, the internet in general, could have brought that moment to me. That is an amazing thing. We can watch anything like that. And I know that people take that for granted, but right now, if you pick up your phone and look at it right now, that thing is absolutely amazing. That is Star Trek level crazy cool. And I know that that sounds like some kind of weird bit of marketing, but you notice I didn't name drop any brands. I'm saying in general, the fact that you would be able to pick up something like that or sit at your computer or anything like that and watch this sort of stuff unfold in a massive media event like this, it only makes sense that in a few years we will be able to do it virtually to a level that we don't even totally comprehend right now. I mean, I think we're one or two like technological breakthroughs away from something like that occurring and then people charging for that. I don't know why. I just have this weird feeling like that it's either going to be led by Facebook and Disney or something along that line. And I truly believe it's going to happen within the next 5 years. And I think that in and of itself is also going to make social media platforms either die off quickly and go the way of like Vine and MySpace and stuff, or they're going to evolve into something more. They're going to turn into something, you know, that goes beyond how we normally interact with each other right now. I don't know what that is, though. I really don't know what that is. So anyway, thanks again for listening, guys, and all that sort of stuff. If you guys have any comments or questions or anything else like that, you can certainly, I think you can leave a comment still on Podbean. Man, it's been so long since I've actually been uploading this stuff. And or if not, or you have any other questions or anything, you can certainly reach out to me on Twitter at The Artisan Rogue or email me mario@mariomora.net. I do have some new updates and some new stuff that is coming out on my blog/website, which is theartisanrogue.com. You can check that out as well. I have a new interview. In fact, I'm going to be, as soon as I get done with my stuff here in this in the recording booth, I'm going to go ahead and jump onto an editing bit. I have my friend Brandy's interview, hers is really great. She's a local artist that I've known for a few years, and to see her and how she's grown her little business, Dorky Dino, into this very positive, super kid-friendly, but also very fun design aesthetic-led sort of business has been a lot of fun, and I'm just so proud of her on what she's done. And, you know, she's also got another kid on the way. She's got one now, and there's a lot of times when I think, you know, people have come up to me and been like, dude, how do you do all these things? I'm like, no, not me. Let's talk about some of these other people I know that have a lot more going on than what I have. And she's definitely in that zone where when I see, like, you know, just how she manages to stay positive and all these other things, I have to take a lot of notes from that, because I'm like, damn, it's something when you really get to sit down and talk to somebody or you know, engage with their artwork, and you see that it comes from a place of really good positive vibes and a true love and compassion for, you know, the good things in life. And we don't have enough of that, honestly, you know, and that would probably be something more that, you know, I would hope that shows in general would take into consideration when they bring artists on board and do that sort of thing. But that's a whole other discussion. Again, this was Radio 74. I am Mario the Artisan Rogue. Thank you so very much for listening to me tonight, and I will catch you in the next show.